Allah Ta'ala orders in the Quran, and this is also in the Hadith, and Allah Ta'ala orders that we should save ourselves, protect ourselves from the fire of Jahannam, the fire of hell. Where is the fire of hell that we need to save ourselves from? We can't see that fire burning, but Allah Ta'ala tells us to save ourselves and prevent ourselves from falling into the fire of Jahannam. And this fire of Jahannam is there in the dunya, but we cannot see it. We cannot identify it. From morning until evening, a person should try from morning until evening, all the time, in other words, to save himself, herself from the fire of Jahannam, hell. This fire of hell that we cannot see, it's present, but its form and image, appearance has changed, and it's there in different forms. And that is the form and the image of the sins of a human being. All of the sins are images of the fire of Jahannam. At this moment in time, the sins are there. But when a person dies, then those sins become the fire of hell. Every sin will become the fire of hell and will be visible in front of a person. So we should try, the insan, the human being, should try to save himself from the fire. In other words, to save himself from the sins. There are different weird types of sins that surround us, that confront us. And no sin is small in reality. No sin is small. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates a hadith that Nabi al-Kareem, the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, stated that Allah Ta'ala states that insan, the human being's vision, his sight, this is an arrow, rather a poisonous arrow from the arrows of Shaytan. A poisonous arrow? Yes, a poisonous arrow is enough to eliminate an individual. And in the previous, an arrow is enough, rather. But in the previous days and centuries, that the arrow, the tip used to be immersed in poison. So as soon as it touches that person that the arrow was fired towards, then that person would die. Before the cut of the sword, the tip of the arrow would spread the poison through the body of the person who is pierced. And there were such poisonous chemicals them days. So this is an example from that time, but relevant, that this is such an arrow of Shaitan, vision, our sight, that it is the most poisonous tip, the most poisonous arrow of Shaitan. And in another hadith, it is stated, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiyallahu anhu also narrates this hadith, that there's a meaning of every hadith, and this is the meaning of the hadith, that Shaitan, he can become a little bit disheartened, etc. There are many sins. In some way, we see a person, Shaitan, he gets a bit disheartened, so maybe he won't get trapped by this sin. Then he lays the trap out, lays the net. Then he says, maybe he won't get trapped, maybe he won't get trapped. But there's one action which he never loses hope in, never loses heart. He's always encouraged, always running after that sin to be committed, and he always fulfills that. And what is that? The poor use of the sight and the vision of the human being. He always lays that trap and succeeds. So it's obviously that if this is the poisonous arrow of Shaitan, then how much loss is there in misuse of our eyes, the wrong use of eyes. That those people who would manufacture the poisonous tips of the arrow so that the poison would pierce the body of a person, he would die. So in the same way, Shaitan, his arrow is more dangerous than the most dangerous of us. It's more dangerous than that human being who fires the arrow. It's worse than death. It is a bigger loss than even death for the human being. Yes, if a person dies, fair enough, he's got to pass away. And if he goes in a good way, in a pious way, he leaves the world, he'll go to paradise. But this sin, which is the poisonous arrow of Shaitan, it is more severe than death itself. Why? Because what does it eliminate when this sin is committed? This arrow doesn't wipe away a human being, but it wipes away the iman of the human being. So that poor soul who is looking around, he's pious, so-called worshipper, but Shaitan always running after him to consume his iman. Despite all his worship actions and efforts, shaitan wants to eliminate that person. So his final attack, you could say, shaitan's. And in this day and age, this is a massive, massive test for a person of iman. If a person has iman or not, we can give no guarantee. We realize at that time, when a person will die, at the time of death, we'll realize what iman we have. These hadith tell us that a person can assess and analyze his iman. That the person who cannot protect his eyesight from looking at wrong things, then he can assess his iman. That what position am I in? Man and woman. Man and woman. Male and female. In this day and age, the greatest, you can say, effort we need to make is to protect our eyes and the misuse of our eyes and our gaze falling on wrong things. And this attack of shaitan, he totally has laid out his nets and traps. And he's a trickery that the muttaqis, abid and zahids, he grabs them, he pulls them in. He pulls them in, he ropes them in within seconds because he has all the means. Allah says, لَا تَقْرَبُوا فَاهِشَ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا فَاهِشَ. Because this is the reality. This is the reality about the sight, about the misuse of our vision. That what takes us close to sin, most of all, is the misuse of the eyes. And about the eyes, it's stated that when insan looks at the wrong person, a person he's not allowed to, permitted to, غير محرم, opposite sex, when a woman looks at a man or a man looks at a woman, then his whole body becomes zani, adultery, adulterer. The whole body becomes an adulterer at that time when the zina is done. Zina is adultery. So in this condition, if a person dies, then what will be his hal? Alhamdulillah, this is not the big achievement, person prays tahajjud, but the big achievement is this, that a person prevents himself from implementing these sins. This is what we need to run after. This is what we need to do. So it's not kamal that I observe nafal fasts, voluntary fasts, and I do qiyam and sayam. The enjoyment here is that all day long I protect my eyes from looking at a ghair mahram. If I'm a man or a woman, or if I'm a woman, a man. And not just this, Allah doesn't say don't go out into society, in the world, and don't work. Just as the generations change, society changes, methods change. So just as the methods change and the society change, but the law of Sharia and the Quranic principles will remain the same, steadfast. So the more a person does mujahida and he makes effort and strives to leave sins, the higher level he will get in paradise. There's a person who's from 100 years ago, he was sat in a village. And women wouldn't leave their homes that much them days. They would observe parda, hijab, barrier, and he couldn't wander around. And the lives were according to the Quran. And if there was a woman at home, and she, even the woman would do parda from the non-mahram women, the non-permittable women, and she'd have proper attire. And even the men, this was the habit of men, that they would cough before they come in, they'd cough before they enter the home, so that the women folk knew that the man's coming in. This is a severe sin, that you go into a house without ijazah. Severe sin. You don't know how the people are in the home at that time, or the family. And there's a strict warning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about going into homes without permission. And the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, they were given warnings that about coming to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's home. Obviously, there was respect there and honor there, and parda there. And just like today, if you have a sheikh, then he is most respectful for you, isn't he? Subhanallah. That, for example, he'll have the highest maqam, that he's your ustad and your teacher. So the same principles and laws are here today. But today, without looking, we go into a house, somebody's home. Oh, no, I don't have parda, he's my ustad, and this is my home. I can go in, and a man goes in. What position are the family members in, the women folk in, or the other people inside the house? You go in without permission, and in such homes, astaghfirullah, we see that this is the iman we have today. These actions eliminate iman. These actions diminish the flame of iman and make iman weak. We have to look at this closely. So as I was saying, that today the conditions that are around us, the scenarios that are around us, the actions that are around us, if we want to see if a person is in a good position in the previous generation, as I said, that a person would never go into someone's home without knocking, he'd say salam first, stand to the side, seek permission to enter, then if the door would open, then they would go in, otherwise they would return silent. Even if it was the family member, if you would enter into the home, and I'm talking about even my generation, whilst I was growing up, that in our life we never put our footsteps into a home from a young life until we didn't say loudly salam. Our grandmother would not give us food. She would not give us food. We had such a habit, and we have the habit even now, that when you'll stand and say salam loudly, then obviously you'll know that if a ghair mahram woman's come to your house, or a ghair mahram man's come to your house. So have you made this habit? Yes, or do you just do dhikr? And remember, this is not how a person becomes a Sufi. I've told you this many times. The great achievement is not this, that you're praying tahajjud, doing dhikr, etc. The kamal is that you live your life according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Adab, manners. Adab, we have the technique and the method and the adab to go into someone's home. We understand the hadith, this is this person, this is his maqam, this is this person, this is his maqam. According to that status, we should do the hisab. Yes? That how should I meet this person? How should I be cautious when I meet this person? What should I prevent? There are different levels and ranks of caution. And if we don't know this, then dhikr, it will be thrown back on our faces. That the dhikr you were doing, you were remembering Allah so that you could bring the adab, the manners, the implementation of sunnah into your life. But we, for example, if I say in the previous generations, the person did as much dhikr as we are doing now, then his heart would be so pure and clean that at any moment he would be ready to do ziyarah, see the Holy Prophet Abu Khair. I'll give you an example. He was a great sheikh who passed in the history. And whenever he'd go to, he'd do ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because their qulub, their hearts were so clean that Allah Ta'ala removes the veils, the barriers. Is this not enough dhikr that we do, the qalbi dhikr? The reasons we don't benefit is that we have surrounded ourselves with sins, with darkness. We work so hard, and we are going, for example, against the wrong actions in this generation. We do dhikr, but we aren't cautious. We think, I've prayed salah, I've done dhikr. This is not a sin. Oh, it's okay. No difference is if I commit this sin. No. These are big sins. A sin, as I said to you, save yourself from the hellfire, because a sin becomes hell. And how much fire are we taking up with us as luggage through this life? So this is caution. It's extremely essential to exercise caution with our eyes and vision. If we don't pray tahajjud, we won't be punished. If we don't pray ishraq, we won't be punished. If we don't do lengthy recitation of Quran, Allah will not punish. But where will we be asked that? Why did you commit this sin? How did you implement this sin? That's where we will be asked. That's where all the severity comes. And if we give up now, and those things Allah Ta'ala has told us to leave, refrain from, and we do those more? No. If we refrain from those sins, then alhamdulillah, that person who leaves the sins is on higher levels than those people who pray tahajjud, but they didn't exercise caution with their eyesight. They'll be at the back, they won't know what's happening. But the person who left sins, he will be ahead of the people who pray tahajjud, the abids, who understood what his sin is and left the sins. What's the reason? The reason is one. One is pleasing and one is displeasing. Subhanallah, remember this. Yes? One is pleasing, one is displeasing. What's the dangerous? And it's not dangerous if you can't please someone. Maybe even then you will succeed. But the dangerous thing is that he's upset with you. If somebody is upset with you, that's the dangerous situation. Yes? That this is dangerous. That Allah is unhappy with us. Allah, if he gets displeased, and he's not unhappy with anything, Allah is only unhappy with one factor, that I told you to refrain from these actions. Why are you implementing these actions? Don't you believe me as Rabb? Don't you believe me as the Khaliq? What's the status of this? The whole universe is in my control, with my orders it's moving. This man with two legs, I give him food to eat and drink, and he's going against me? He's practicing against me? Tell me how much Allah Ta'ala will be angry and displeased with that human being who's leaving his rules. So our sight, our vision, it makes the whole body a zani. And if our whole body is zani, if our hand is doing zina, if our fingers implementing adultery, if I die, then will I die with one zina sin? Then I'll become a book of zina when I die. And then a person like this, tell me about him. What taste and enjoyment will he get? Why? Because the hadith is a very great hadith. And these hadith, Allah Ta'ala stated, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah has stated. And what has Allah stated? That when a man, when an individual, when he is hit by the poisonous arrow of shaitan, which is the wrong use of eyes. And Allah Ta'ala said that if a person is afraid of me, out of my fear, Allah Ta'ala says, if out of my fear, Allah says, if a person out of my fear, he stops his gaze from looking at the wrong person, Allah says, I'll give him such a gift, that I will give him such iman, the taste, hilawat, he will feel at that time. He will feel that taste. He will taste that iman right at that time when he protects his gaze. And imagine the taste of iman, halawat-e iman at that time. If Allah is himself giving that taste at that time, when a person saves his gaze from going to the wrong place. Allah doesn't say that tahajjud, if you don't pray, there's a sin, or other ibadat. But this sin, Allah says, refrain from it, because this is the foundation of all evil. It will wipe away our deeds and our efforts and make us like wasters. It will make us wasters. Yes? So, 2 points here. Allah Ta'ala stated that number one, totally, that the sight, our vision, our eyesight, it is such an arrow, a poisonous arrow that doesn't pierce a body, it pierces the iman, the belief of a person. So if a person doesn't have the iman, is pierced, and he doesn't have the taste of iman, and he doesn't leave that sin of zina, of using the eyes wrong, the gaze, he says, oh, it's okay, I can look around, and this zina is common. So what a person should do is that if he wants to depart from this world with goodness and in a good way, then these ibadat Allah Ta'ala is making us do, if you want to get the levels and the rewards of these good deeds we're doing, then first and foremost we need to protect our gaze, lower our gaze, and don't look at the wrong thing. So how do we do this? What's the solution? Very regularly, commonly, people complain, I try, my gaze goes to the wrong person, my eyes wander around, and we implement the sin sheet. That's very good if we accept that we are committing the sin. That Allah Ta'ala said, in this day and age, what a great system He's given to us, subhanAllah, that it pulls the insan towards Allah and makes the insan control himself. And those who are implementing these sheets, they know this, that how beneficial the tazkiyah sheet system is. Yes? So brothers, what is it that can save us? Insan, human being, if he controls himself, how can he control himself and save himself from the wrong use of the eyesight? As I've said before, that all of the things that we have in front of us, all of the things around us in front of us, there's a cure for everything. Allah has kept the cure in one action, one factor. One factor is the cure. And if the human being adopts that cure, then alhamdulillah, he will get the cure for all negativity in his life. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. All negatives and wrongs, there's the cure in this one factor. Shall I tell you? First promise, you will practice this cure. Inshallah. It's true promise? Yes, inshallah. So, the eyesight's nothing. Within a second, you will protect it. What a big sin. But subhanAllah, Allah has given us such a great cure. And all the cures are in this action, that within a second, you'll be pure and clean. The shaitan doesn't even come close to you, and his arrow cannot fire to you. Cannot pierce you. And in his eyes, when he does ibadah, when he does worship, when he reads Quran, the tears come down, roll off his eyes. He immerses himself in the verses. He listens intensely to recitation. He likes to do dhikr and listen to the words of Allah. And he starts, because he's got strong iman. Because he's controlled his gaze, his eyes. Shall I tell you what is the cure, the solution? Through which, and in this day and age, alhamdulillah, the women and the men. The men get caught. But women, they do it, this sin in hiding. They have such a poisonous eyesight from the crooked, you could say, way that they look. Obviously, they can't see it clearly. But Allah Ta'ala knows, and Allah will bring out and extract the sins from their hearts, not from the kitabs. Where will Allah Ta'ala bring the sins out of the heart? The hair, look, here's your sin in front of you. Print it, Allah will say. Publish it. And most of our sins will come out of our hearts. Our sins are hidden so much in this day and age. You can't tell from the appearance of a person. You think, oh, this man's an angel, he's pious. That's why Allah Ta'ala says that I know everything. And Allah knows not just what's on the top apparent, but Allah says, I know to the depth of your heart what's inside you. That you say, Baji, you're my sister, you're my Islamic sister, we are brothers and sisters, but in your heart, Allah says, I know how much of a brother you are to her. That this can never be a relationship between you two. Doesn't matter how much you say, Baji, Baji, sister, sister. She's not Baji, sister. It's nonsense. She's a ghair mahram. Doesn't matter how much he says to you, Baisa, brother, chacha, uncle. No, ghair mahram. This is rubbish dialogue. No, one solution. Parda, barrier. Parda, physical barrier. There's no law apart from this. Becoming brother, chachu, uncle. Oh, he's my brother and sister by name. She's my chacha, masha. No. Then we run after that person. And it's all nonsense and rubbish. then the stories come out and unravel, because Shaitan is most cunning of all, and he never loses hope in catching people through zina. And when he knows that other sins are not being committed, he reaches to his destiny. He doesn't want your salah, he doesn't want your ibadat, he doesn't want your worship actions. He'll put you, sit you down in halaqa. What will he grab from you? Your iman. And you'll become a box. Empty box, and they'll be ashamed. Oh, how can I trim my beard? What will people say if I take my mum off? What will people say? But inside is iman, belief is, if he takes off the imamah, people joke. If he keeps on joke, the enjoyment of iman is lost. Then half of the deen is just left only for the sake of people. But don't pray salah. People ask me, why didn't I pray? I've taken my imam off. They'll ask me, why did you take your imam off? If I do this action, these are signs that iman is void, empty. It's void. Yes, it's hollow. It's a proof that he's doing it for the sake of people. But if you've got true iman, then the proof is that a person who fears Allah and exercises caution with his gaze and protects his gaze. What we realize, the first point here, is that a person doesn't have fear of Allah if he misuses and abuses his gaze. First, if we want to protect our gaze, we need to have khawf and fear of Allah in our hearts. Shaitan has taken Allah's fear out of our hearts. We have no fear. We're not scared. We're not worried. So the cure is one. There's no other cure. Shall I tell you the cure? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implemented sunnah. Subhanallah. That's it. One action. All the dunya will work hard to remove this sin of zina, can never eliminate it. This sin will only be eliminated if we take the sunnah action from the court of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah will have to go to his court and ask him, O Prophet of Allah, this sin we are committing all day long, left, right and center, what action, what solution did you give? The hadith in Mubarak gives the solution. Subhanallah. This hadith, small hadith in length, but beautiful and impactful, weighty, and this will give iman to the whole society in the world and will protect us from the big sin. And this sin will not affect us, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah mubarak, his blessed sunnah has the solutions. And what was the mubarak sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That when he would leave home, then his blessed sight and gaze would be down. He would lower his gaze. So say subhanallah. That's the cure of this sin. Nothing else. Lower the gaze. When a person makes niyyah, intention, that I don't want to raise my gaze and bring my gaze up, first of all, you'll have a fight with shaitan. He'll make you look up. He'll make you look up. There's a better way. If your eyes come up, say astaghfirullah. And ta'awudh. Remember I said the other day, ta'awudh. Seek refuge. A'udhu billah. I seek refuge and protection from Allah. And when shaitan attacks, then who can save us at that time? Can anyone save us? Uncle, mama, taya, who will save us? Allah. Say it loudly. Allah will save us. So who should we ask help from? When shaitan is working, attacking, soon as you call out to Allah, Allah's rahmah will immediately come to us. Now let's see what shaitan, how can you attack us? And it's very powerful, this cure of lowering the gaze. Do you understand the cure? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah mubarak, his blessed sunnah. If we love his sunnah, then love this action. Never raise your gaze wherever you're going, traveling, wandering, walking. Alhamdulillah, practice this for 1 week. 1 week, and you will work, you leave home, go to your shop, to the business, workplace, you'll come home. You won't even realize, who did I meet, who is it, who it wasn't. You'll say that I saw you. You say, I didn't see you. I didn't see that you were there. And you were walking, and I was walking past you, I said, salam. You said, maybe I answered to you, but I didn't see your face. I didn't know you were there. Say subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is the solution. What a beautiful, beloved solution. A person's gaze is down. He doesn't know who's walking past him. And he has the rahmah, the mercy of Allah with him. And he doesn't worry. So shaitan, what does shaitan say to us? Oh, if I'm going out and there's a woman working with us, and if I don't look at her face, then I won't succeed. Who told you this? Who told you this? That I've got a job, I've got to communicate, interact people. Fine, don't leave your job. Live in society. And we are living in the generation we're living in now. And every generation that passes, more sins come, more challenges come, don't they? And there's no concession from the sin. Maybe you will have to. Allah Ta'ala said that you'll have to go somewhere else. Who knew? Did your grandfathers and forefathers know that you'd be living here in this country? We may have to go to another state, another country. London? You're going to London? What did people saw that time, decades and decades ago, that 1947, 43, 45 people came in the 40s. Oh, you've gone to London? Oh, he's gone to London? He's gone to study? They didn't know that if somebody came back from there, the whole village or town would go to see him. That this person's come from London, UK, Europe, like like he's fallen from space, outer space. So could you think that you'd be sitting in Bolton in a masjid and here, you'd have nationality, citizenship, and you'd have rights more than those who were here from before? You say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Allah's karam, mercy, Allah's blessings. So does this mean that we cease to practice the laws of Allah? Look at this person, that person, that person. Sins will be committed if we do that. So here if we've come, we've got chicken and nice fresh food and enjoyment. Then here, for the sake of Allah, we need to make more effort and struggle. Not that here we've come here, we've been sent here to fill our stomachs. No, we haven't. Oh, I went there to London, what could I do? Always there were sins around me, attractions. Allah says, fine, go back to your home then where you came from. That if Allah has given you mal here, wealth here, money here, food here, comforts here, luxuries here, that within a second you can go to a takeaway and buy such food, then go back to your home country where people don't even get a piece of bread, a chapati. They don't get that. They don't even get a piece. That even if you put one roti, then various children will jump onto that one chapati. Oh, food's come. Food's come. They don't even know that bread is something that they can eat. They don't know what it is, chicken or meat. Such towns and villages and cities, they don't even get meat at the time of the Eid al-Adha. With happiness every year, they're hungry. For example, they just get an onion, peel it and cut it in half, and they eat the onion with the roti. I've seen people doing that. So if Allah has given us these ni'mas, then should we commit sins as well on top of that? Think we're fortunate and do fasad and astaghfirullah, go against Allah? No. Allah has given us ni'mas, gifts and rewards, then we should value these ni'mas. Alhamdulillah will give us more over and above this. More over and above this. Allah Ta'ala is challenging us. Allah Ta'ala is giving us the test. Allah Ta'ala is saying that this is how I'm testing you. These are my laws and hikmahs and wisdoms. We don't know why Allah Ta'ala has sent us here and given us the lifestyle. We got comfort, etc. And that, for example, Allah says that we come to this masjid, or we go to the masjid. Allah Ta'ala says that go to our home country is the mulanas of our masjids. Look at the hal. Look at the situation. Go to a village masjid. And he has read the same Quran that you've read, and he will have studied Quran better than you. I seek forgiveness in what I'm saying. But they have also studied hadith on straw mats and recited Quran. They've studied Mishkat Sharif. They've studied Abu Dawud. They've studied Sihah Sittah. They've studied Khuduri. Everything they've studied. Everything. So what kamal, what achievement that you're sitting here, you've got three cars and Mercedes, detached home, you're enjoying yourself because you're a Mawlana? Because you're a scholar? No, no, no. This is a big fitna and test that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. A challenge. So there are two rewards. Subhanallah. Allah's rahmah is upon us. Mercy that go to this hemisphere. Teach deen and ilm, knowledge. And if you do the work of the deen there and protect yourself in the right way and live in the correct way, the way you should, according to my laws and principles, then see your maqam, how much I will give to you in return, Allah Ta'ala says. But if you commit sins there and do wrong actions, Allah says, I'll grab you and you'll be given such beats that you'll realize in front of the people. So this is our situation. Allah Ta'ala has put us in a big test. Eat here, enjoy here, but eat over there as well. Subhanallah. So this is an important one. Enjoy here and enjoy there. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah's karam. There's more mujahidah here. More struggling and making effort here to do good. So from today, what do we need to do? Our action, which is the root of all sins. Misuse of our gazes. Whoever gazes incorrect, he used his deen is incorrect. His iman is spoilt. His salah is spoilt. His hajj is spoilt. His umrah is spoilt. His taluk with his teacher is spoilt. His dhikr is waste. And whoever's gaze is protected, then everything is noor ala noor, light upon benefit. That's it. No excuses. One cure. What is the cure? What is the cure? Lower your gazes. Look at the pavement, the ground where you're walking. You know, like when you have a torch and you're in the darkness, when you're walking in the darkness, where will you shine the torch? On the roof? Where do you shine the torch? Have you ever walked in darkness? Ever? With a torch? No? Never? Total darkness, you've got a torch. Where will you shine the torch? Yeah, down on the ground to see where your feet are going, your legs. So Allah is saying, what a great solution, what a great point coming to my mind. Allah says, utilize the torch. So the natural torch, you have to look down. And what's that? The torch of Iman. Look with the light of Iman. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greatest. So you will see the light illuminated the ground with the torch of Iman. Allah says, I'm giving you a torch. And all of the society, generation around us, the world around us, consider everything is darkness around you. There's nothing, there's no light. You can't see nothing. It's total darkness. And then the light that you're shining of your shining your Iman light, you're shining, Allah says, become so immersed in Madinah. Allah's given us a great tool. The lower your gaze and make your heart the dhakir. Subhanallah, what a great refreshment in these words, huh? That just like biryani with lassi. Oh, biryani with the spices, with lassi, and the carrots cut, the slices of carrots. Enjoyment, no? Isn't it, Dr. Sahib? Enjoyment, isn't it? He's smiling that he'll go and get this at home today. MashaAllah, he's enjoying himself now. So what about the people, the friends of Allah? That dhikr in the heart and the gaze is on the ground, lighting up the ground with iman. Subhanallah. What a great life we'd live. And this is just about practicing. Practicing. Okay, if you can practice being a gangster and a criminal, then can we not practice being pious? Will you do this, brothers? Inshallah, after today, keep this subject compact and promise compact that from today we're going to start this solution. Because the first sin that we need to take out of our lives is misuse of the gaze. This is for the young man, child, women, old men. Old men are gangsters, criminals. Yeah. They think that I'm pious, I'm old, he's chacha, mama, taya, and women, they come close to him, and his eyes are going somewhere else. Why? Because shaitan is there as well at the same time. So we think that no one thinks he's old. No man thinks he's old. Rather, they don't keep the mirror in the house. They say, forget that mirror, I don't need to see my old face. So the mirror tells me the wrong news. I'm not old. Never should a man consider himself. He never thinks he's old. He says, anyone I can marry, can I get do a second marriage? No difference, no problem. Is there any woman who's similar to my age? I can get married. So shaitan instills whispering into the minds, and he's got big traps that he lays down to eliminate the iman of mankind. So what will save us? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. That what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That how do we eliminate this sin or this sin in this age? What should we do? What should be our adab, our hal? What should be our manners? Alhamdulillah. And the life passes in a good way. So from today, the solution we need to adopt and practice is this solution. Not this, the many people have given up, I'm in this country, I've given up, I praise Allah. If I misuse my gaze and do zina, then they are devoid of iman. Hadith states that person is devoid of iman if he does zina. No taste of iman. No taste of iman. We'll have to do this solution, my brothers. We have to. Dhakir, how can he dare to raise his gaze and look left, right, everywhere around him? No. Your gaze is down if you're working. Soon, for example, accepted that, for example, if a person in the office, a woman here and there, okay, fair enough. When you got the habit, then all people think that they'll all look like idols around you. Darkness, I can show you people like this. I can demonstrate that they work in such places, but they don't know anyone who's around them. They've never seen ever. Subhanallah. They recognize by the voice, is my boss, this person, that person. They don't even have a thought. Why? Because their heart is a dhakir. Alhamdulillah. They leave home with the remembrance of Allah. They know that Allah has given them occupation and work. They are happy. Allah has put me in a test. Allah Ta'ala is elevating my darajat, my levels. I will do more hard work here. The more I work harder, then that person will be closer to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ability to practice this. Ameen.
فضل و کرم سے ہمارے صغیرہ و کبیرہ گناہ معاف فرما دے یا اللہ دانشتہ و غیر دانشتہ گناہ معاف فرما دے یا اللہ جو غلطی سے وہ ہمارے جان بوجھ کے گناہ معاف فرما دے اے میرے مولا موت سے پہلے ہمیں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ موت سے پہلے ہمیں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ اس توبہ پہ استقامت نصیب فرما دے اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے سارا دن ساری رات ہمیں قبر کی تیاری نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا ہمیں جنت میں اعلیٰ درجہ نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا اچھی عبادتیں نصیب فرما یا اللہ اچھے عمل نصیب فرما یا اللہ ایسے عمل نصیب فرما جو تیرے قریب کر دیں ہیں میرے مولا یا اللہ ایسے عمل نصیب فرما جو تیرا قرب نصیب فرما دیں اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے اپنے کرم سے اپنے رحم سے میرے مولا اچھے اور نیک عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما میرے مولا اچھی صحبتیں نصیب فرما یا اللہ تو اچھی صحبتیں نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں تمام روحانی بیماریوں سے نجات نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے قلوب کو مصفح اور صاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری حاجات کو پورا فرما دے ہماری مصیبتوں کو دور فرما دے ہماری بیماری کو دور فرما دے اے میرے مولا ہمارے گھروں میں سکون نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں سکون نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا ہمارے گھروں میں سکون نصیب فرما یا یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں کو لڑائی جھگڑوں سے پاک فرما دے, یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں دین کا ماحول پیدا فرما دے, یا اللہ ہمیں ایک دوسرے کے احترام نصیب فرما دے, یا اللہ ہمیں صبر نصیب فرما دے, یا اللہ ہمیں صبر نصیب فرما دے, یا اللہ انتقام کی آگ ہم سے دور فرما دے, یا اللہ معاف کرنے کی صفت ہمیں نصیب فرما دے, درگزر کی صفت ہمیں نصیب فرما دے, یا اللہ چھوٹوں سے محبت نصیب فرما اور چھوٹوں کو بڑوں کا ادب نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا ہمیں ایک بہترین اچھا کنبہ نصیب فرما دے, یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں کو جنت بنا دے, یا اللہ صبح شام ذکر کا گوارہ بنا دے, حرام رستوں کو ختم فرما دے, حرام چیزوں کو ہمارے گھروں سے دور نکال دے. اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل خم سے اپنے ماں باپ کی عزت نصیب فرما, اپنے ماں باپ کا احترام نصیب فرما. یا اللہ یہ وہ ذریعہ ہے جس سے بہت زیادہ اللہ راضی ہوتا ہے, اللہ قریب ہوتا ہے, اللہ جنت میں درجہ لات عطا فرماتا ہے. اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فرض خم سے ہمیں ان کی خدمت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جو ہمارے ماں باپ کے درجے پر ہیں میرے مولا ان کی بھی خدمت نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے اپنے حبیب صدقے سے تمام امت پہ رحم فرما. یا اللہ اسلامی جو حالات ہیں میرے مولا اس میں آسودگی نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے راستوں کو آسان فرما دے, ہمارے راستوں کو آسان فرما دے. اے میرے مولا ہم سے دین کا کام لے لے, دین پہ کام لے لے, ہمیں دین کا دائی بنا دے. اے میرے مولا اپنے راستے دین پہ چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما, قربانی دینے کی توفیق نصیب فرما, دن رات اس جسم میں ہمیں گزارنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا یہ چند گھڑیوں کو چند دنوں کی جان تو نے ہمیں عطا فرمائی میرے مولا, اپنے دین کے کام پہ لگانے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل و کرم سے اور جو اس حلقے کے اندر میرے مولا صالحین عابدین اور میرے مولا اچھے لوگ موجود ہیں ان کے صدقے سے ہم سب کو گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا اللہ جو بھی اس حلقے میں شامل ہیں دور سے نزدیک سے میرے مولا واسطہ بالواسطہ میرے مولا ہم سب کو ان دعاؤں میں شامل فرما. جن عورتوں نے جن مردوں نے ان بچوں نے میرے مولا دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا ان کے حق میں دعا عطا فرما. یا اللہ وہ محتاج جو پریشان حال لوگ جو ہیں میرے مولا جو ہمیں نہیں جانتے میرے مولا ان سب کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.